We are having a forum. The race that is going to be covered is the 7th Plymouth State Representative District, which is Olive Whitman, Abington, plus Precincts 2, 3, and 4 in East Bridgewater. This is an open seat, as the incumbent state rep, Jeff Deal, is not seeking another term. Instead, he is the Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate seat against Democrat incumbent Senator Elizabeth Warren. Now, I'm Kevin Tocci, and I'm going to serve as your moderator this evening, as Christine James is under the weather. We wish her a speedy recovery. Also asking questions will be WATD's own Charles Matheson and Amy Lennon. Now, Amy is going to have double duty tonight.
Yes.
As she's got, if you'll show, the red, green, and yellow cards. And folks are going, why are you saying show? It's radio. There's no visual medium. Ah, but you are wrong, because this forum is being videotaped courtesy of Whitman-Hanson Community Access, and on camera tonight is Paul Watson. We thank WHCA and Paul for being here. Our format, it is very simple. We use the same format every time, as Christine would tell you. We have the candidates make opening and closing statements, 2-minute open, 1-minute close. Now, in between, we ask a round of questions, including the famous lightning round. That's where reporters will ask for either a two-sentence answer or yes and no. Yes and no means yes or no without a big, long explanation. Two sentences is just that, two sentences. Now, if we have time this evening, and it's possible we may, the candidates may have an opportunity to ask each other a question or two. Now, just so you know, as I said, Amy's keeping time. And if, in fact, you happen to go a little bit past your time and you don't get your warning cues, there's one thing that we deploy, the bell. That means that we need you to stop. If there's anything additional that you want to say or that you want to say in regards to something that your opponent said, that's where your closing statement comes in handy. And if you can use that time aptly to be able to give a further explanation. Now, Charles actually was able to do a little bit of a work with the WATD News Koozie to help us choose the opening and closing order. And we are going to begin with the Democrat, Alex Bezanson, followed by Allison Sullivan. So we'll start with you, Alex. If you will, 2 minutes, your opening statement, please.
Thank you. Good evening, and thank you to WATD and their staff for hosting this forum. Thank you to my opponent. My name is Alex Bezanson. I grew up in Quincy and moved to Abington in 1987 when my son, Brian, was just 4 years old. I coached his soccer, baseball, and basketball teams when he was young and immediately felt a connection to the community. In 2002, I married my lovely wife, Lisa, and together we own a small contracting business. In the early 1990s, I was appointed to the Abington Conservation Commission and spent 23 years on that board, 15 as chairman. I then served 1 year as a water commissioner, and as a water commissioner, I proposed a policy, and it was adopted, to waive all system development fees for low-income, senior, and veteran housing. In 2015, I was elected to the Abington Board of Selectmen. And as a selectman, I was able to reach an agreement with the city of Brockton to increase Abington sewer capacity from 1 million gallons per day to 1.5 million gallons. I was instrumental in obtaining a grant of $178,000 for a dog park. I pushed for the adoption of the stretch code, which was the last piece of the puzzle for Abington to become a green community. With that came a grant of $164,000 for energy conservation. After our own family tragedy in 2008, Lisa and I formed the HUG Foundation to help families that are going through medical issues. And we've also founded the Abington Substance Awareness Coalition to be a resource for families of addicts and to bring awareness and education to students and parents. I'm running for state representative because I know I can be an effective voice for the hardworking people of Abington, Whitman, and East Bridgewater.
All right, that again was Democrat Alex Bezanson. And now with her opening statement is Allison Sullivan, if you will, Allison.
Thank you. Good evening. Thank you, WATD. I would say, Christine, I hope you're feeling better tonight. Kevin, Charles, Amy, and Paul, for hosting this forum tonight. And of course, thank you to the listeners. My name is Allison Sullivan, and I'm running to become your next state representative in the 7th Plymouth District. I am a lifelong resident of Abington. I went to Abington Public Schools and graduated from Cardinal Spellman High School. I went on to receive my bachelor's degree in sociology from Suffolk University. I am currently in my fourth and final year at New England School of Law. After graduating from Suffolk, I had the opportunity to work for the United States Immigration Court as a legal assistant. I then took a position at the United States Attorney's Office for the District of Massachusetts in their Victim Witness Unit. I currently serve the Commonwealth of Massachusetts in the Executive Office for Administration and Finance as a legal assistant. I am running for state representative because I believe in the community I call home. I believe in public service. The 7th Plymouth District deserves a state representative who is going to be a strong, independent voice on Beacon Hill to work alongside Governor Baker for our district's fair share of local and school aid, opposing sanctuary cities and Massachusetts becoming a sanctuary state, supporting our police officers and first responders, and tackling the opioid crisis and securing additional funding for treatment programs. I am committed to working with others to solve the horrible opioid crisis. Sadly, too many young people have lost their lives and too many families have suffered. We can and must do better. My life experiences will serve me well to be the new voice for the people of Abington, East Bridgewater, and Whitman. I ask the residents of the 7th Plymouth District for their trust and vote on November 6th. Thank you.
Okay, that was Allison Sullivan. And now we go to questions, and we start with WATD's Charles Matheson. Questions for the candidates.
Good evening, folks. A new UN report that's making news today says the world economy will be destroyed by climate change within 12 years. The Baker administration has maintained restrictions on solar energy that is not changing the net metering limits. What would you do as a legislator, Alex?
Well, one of my businesses I have is Madison Energy Solutions, and it's a struggling small business. We've been trying to get it off the ground for several years, and part of the problem with getting it off the ground is the ever-changing solar SRECs and net metering. I'm a strong proponent of renewable energy, whether it's the Cape Wind or solar. And I would absolutely be pushing for more solar. As a matter of fact, Massachusetts did just enact that any new house has to be solar ready. And I think that's a step in the right direction.
Allison, as a legislator, what would you do to decrease carbon emissions?
Thank you, Charles, for that question. First, I would work with the administration. You know, I have a very good working relationship with the government, the state government, and I would work with the local government as well in each town and do what's best for the district. If it's that we empower more solar panels being in place, then that's what I will do. I mean, I would have to do more research in the solar energy and what it would bring, but obviously what's, you know, for the world, for the earth, you know, it would be nice. So,
follow-up question?
No, thank you.
Amy, questions. Amy Leonard, questions for the candidates, please.
Good evening. Alex Bazanson, I understand when trying to schedule this forum, the possibility of recording on a Sunday to air during this time slot was discussed, to which you replied, I'm not going to waste my time in your studio on a Sunday. Can you explain?
I don't know if I said exactly those words. I said that on Sundays we had canvassing scheduled, and the weekends are the best times to be out knocking on doors and meeting the voters.
All right. And Allison, I remember scheduling the primary forums with you, and there was also some scheduling conflicts. Can you explain?
Yes. So the scheduling conflicts during the primary, I work full-time for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. So my availability to get down to Marshfield from Boston is very restricted. So as far as getting here by 6, I wasn't sure if I was actually going to make it by 6 o'clock. That's why I asked for the later slot, just because of with the train scheduling and then driving down to Marshfield from Abington. I wanted to make sure I was here on time.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Any follow-up?
No.
Okay. We'll start with you, Alex. You're the one candidate with election experience in this race. How does municipal experience help you to be able to connect with the voters as a freshman legislator?
Well, I think my experience, my 27 years of experience volunteering for the town of Abington, whether it's on the Conservation Commission or Water Commissioner or as a selectman, has taught me about the municipal budgets, about the needs of the towns. And I think that that's what prepares me to be ready to be an advocate for the people of this district on day one.
Okay. Allison, this is your first run for office, but you tout that public service is in your blood. How does the zest to serve the public translate into results as a freshman legislator?
I mean, public service is in my blood. You know, from my grandparents that served in their military, my sister is a veteran in the military, my father, years and years of public service, you know, great, great reputation on behalf of my father. So as far as what I would do as a freshman legislative leader, even without, you know, previous public service, which I would beg to differ that I do have public service that I've already served on. You know, as a teenager, I volunteered at the Dare Summer Program at the district attorney's office. I also, you know, volunteered in the district attorney's office as a victim witness advocate during college. I also served at the U.S. attorney's office as a victim witness advocate. So I think I've given, you know, in my professional life, advocacy as well. And then also with, you know, customer service, working as a, you know, Dunkin' Donuts girl serving coffee or as a waitress in a restaurant. Customer service is a big key for public service as a state representative as well.
Okay. Charles Matheson, questions for the candidates. And
one of the topics that we've discussed a lot in these forums this year is affordable housing, the 40B law in Massachusetts. It always seems to turn into a battle between cities and towns. What changes would you support as a state legislator to 40B? Alex?
Well, I think the 40B program is a necessary program. So the cities and towns do reach their 10%. I know Abington is below that. I do have a problem, though. I think there needs to be more oversight on that. I don't think developers should be using that so much to their advantage just to get their projects approved. I know in Abington, you know, they have to go to the zoning board, they have to go to Conservation Commission and selectmen. But I just think the law might need to be tweaked somewhat to give the cities and towns more power, and so it's, so they say, not rammed down their throat, which it is sometimes. I mean, we haven't seen that in Abington, but I've heard about that in other towns. I think it should be reviewed. It's an older law, and I think it should be reviewed.
Okay, Allison, what about 40B?
So my understanding of a 40B is that it was enacted almost 50 years ago. It was, the last time that anybody looked at it was about 10 years ago. So I think that, you know, as a, you know, a legislator, we should take a look into it and look at unintended consequences as far as 40B. You know, I'd have to do more research on where we could change and what we could change. But I think, you know, what I would do, it would be a good time, I think, to kind of take a look at it.
Okay, thank you.
Amy Leonard, questions for the candidates.
In East Bridgewater, there have been negotiations for the Company 47 brand, who they make hats and apparel with all sorts of sports team logos on them. I'm sure you've seen them. To move their operations into the former Shaw's Warehouse on Laurel Street. Give me another example of an area specifically in East Bridgewater where you would like to see new business. Allison.
Specifically in East Bridgewater. You know, the area, I can't say specifically where, because, you know, what comes to mind is where the CVS was put up, and I think that's a great location for a CVS. While door knocking, I've met senior citizens that were over in over 55-plus communities, and they talked about the hardship to find prescription drugs, like go to a pharmacy and get their drugs. They had to travel, you know, 20 minutes outside of East Bridgewater to get those prescriptions. And it's a little bit difficult for someone that's, you know, a senior citizen that might not have access to cars or to rides to get their prescriptions. I don't know. I can't say exactly where we could put businesses. I mean, I would have to take a more look into that.
Okay. Alex?
I think East Bridgewater has some traffic issues, and one of them is the intersection at Route 18 and Central Street that needs to be looked at. But I think that area where the CVS is, and I believe it's Spring Street on that runs beside CVS, I think that would be a good area down in there to keep businesses near Route 18 and to build up that area. They certainly need more commercial revenue. But I think we need to look at that intersection before there's too much construction going on down there.
Thank you.
I'm going to kind of stay on transportation.
And Kevin, by the way, the reason Amy asks that is you will be representing one of you will be representing her in the legislature.
Oh, okay.
That was very quick, Charles. I was going to mention that, but Charles wanted to jump to it. He was excited, and that's good. But yes, as Amy is a 7th Plymouth District voter, it's very very good to know. I'm going to stay on transportation, and I want to ask you both, do you feel that the state has a comprehensive plan in place to address the Commonwealth's transportation needs now and into the future, and where do you feel that your district is best represented in that plan? We'll start with Alex.
I don't think there is a real good comprehensive plan. I think it goes back to development in the areas. I think if we could bring more development down into the South Shore and even through Southfield or into Abington, we would love to have some big developments in Abington, and Whitman would also, and East Bridgewater. It would alleviate some of the traffic going into Boston every day, and it would alleviate some of the people using the trains. That's not to say that there's not work to be done on the infrastructure, but I think we need to expand our commercial base outside of right around the city of Boston.
Okay. Same question for you, Allison.
So as far as the transportation goes, I'm the one that takes the train. I travel on the expressway. I go into Boston every single day. So I know that a lot of people in the South Shore, especially in the 7th Plymouth District, depend on the commuter rail, the Red Line, or even parking within Boston. And I know with the development in Boston, parking is very scarce now. So we're going to rely more so on public transportation. I think with public transportation, you need to look at priorities and where the priorities lie, and you need to go from the first priority and go down the list. So I think one of the number one priorities for most commuters is that the trains run on time. In order to do that, I think we need to make sure that our equipment's up to date and that we're getting the best efficient use out of the commuter rail and the trains as well.
Okay. Again, you are listening to 95.9 WATD, and this is a political forum with the candidates for the 7th Plymouth District, the state representative seat that is going to be up for grabs as the state rep, Jeff Deal, is not seeking another term, as we have the Republican, Allison Sullivan, and the Democrat, Alex Bzanson, here answering questions. We turn to Charles. Charles Matz, questions for our candidates.
Kevin and I have done a lot of work on Brockton Water. As you know, the Brockton water supply comes from the Silver Lake towns, Silver Lake, Pembroke. The Abington Rockland supply also comes from Pembroke and also from Brockton. Brockton sells water to Abington. You're kind of in the middle between the Silver Lake towns and Brockton. There will be a new rep, state rep, in the district formerly served by Tom Calter. Whoever it is, whether it's Joe Trucelli or Kathy Lunatra, they're going to make noise about the city of Brockton draining the Silver Lake watershed. The original legislation is 100 years old. The modification was made in 1964. Do you think it's time for new legislation, and what should it be? Allison.
So, You said it's over 100 years old and that it hasn't been looked at in...
Since '64.
Right. So that's before my time. So I think it's time that we kind of take a look at that. It's similar to what I said about 40B. You know, when it kind of goes into a back door where no one thinks about it, then that's where issues can lie and these unintended consequences that would be happening. If elected, I would work with, you know, the rep, hopefully it's Joe Tricelli, and work with him on securing what would be best for both communities and both districts. I don't know personally what the legislation would look like at this moment, but I would definitely take a look at it, look into it.
Oddly, the legislation that establishes Pembroke Water Source for the Abington-Rockland District predates the Silver Lake by almost 20 years.
Right.
Alex, you're a former water commissioner.
I am.
What kind of legislation would you propose for the Silver Lake dilemma?
Well, I think we need to find more water resources. And Abington, as a matter of fact, just got a grant to do more wells at our Myers Ave area for the Abington-Rockland Joint Water Works. I think we, and Abington itself does not get, gets our water from Little Sandy Pond or whatever it's called there, and our wells at Myers Ave, and we have another well, and I can't think of where that is. But I think that that might be the answer for some of these smaller towns, is to do more wells like we're doing in Abington. Brockton has access to Aquarian.
Yes, on the Taunton River.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it's not living up to how it was sold, and they're lucky if they get if they can get 3 million gallons a day.
Right, right.
And you talk about a community that needs between 10 and 13 million per day.
But it's definitely a help, and we could look into more plants like that, I think.
What about, to each of you, the MRA? Would you support...
MWRA?
MWRA. Thank you, Kevin. Would you support Brockton going onto the MWRA? They really don't want to do it, but...
Well, I know Abington has the gates at on Route 18 that we could tie in there if we needed to at some point. And I definitely think that's something we need to do for Union Point. And there's talks in the works for that. They say it's a few years down the road.
Union Point being the former
Navy base. Right. And Abington has 40 acres of commercial land in there that we would certainly like to see developed to be receiving the tax revenue. But I think MWRA may be one of the solutions down the road for the South Shore towns.
Allison, as a legislator, would you support MWRA coming into the area?
You know, I would talk to the people in the district. I would talk to people in Abington. I would talk to the local government to see what they think is best, you know, hear their voice. You know, at the end of the day, my voice is their voice, so I'm going to do its best on behalf of them.
Okay.
All right. Amy, questions for the candidates. And again, you are listening to a WATD political forum with the candidates running for the 7th Plymouth District state rep seat.
Everyone's been talking about ballot question number one. I want to talk about ballot question number two, which deals with limiting the influence of money in elections from corporations. Can you break it down for our listeners, and where do you stand on it, Alex?
I definitely think there needs to be more transparency in political donations, and there needs to be limits on what corporations can donate. I think that's... I don't think we're seeing that so much on district levels, but on the it's more so on the federal and larger state races and the statewide races and the federal races. But I it's not an issue, I don't think, for a state rep race, at least not on my side, that's for sure. But there definitely needs to be more oversight on political contributions.
Allison?
So I would say no to question two, and the reason being that with the decision, it was basically based on freedom of speech. And I believe Massachusetts has, you know, very, you know, good finance laws in place with OCPF and the website that they have, and being able to see who's donating to what campaign. So I wouldn't be in support of question two.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Question I'm about to ask both of you is reflective of something that's happening right now, real time. But it's something, if you're elected, that you're going to deal with from time to time when there is a budget surplus. So I want you to keep that in mind as you're forming your answer. State is, right now has a sizable revenue surplus of, they're saying it's close to $1 billion from fiscal year 2018. I mean, we're in fiscal year 2019 right now, so they're dealing with a nice surplus. I know that the current administration has its ideas and its designs as to the, where they want to see it spent. Where would you like to see that money spent, especially in your district? And we'll start with Allison.
So yes, the surplus, also known as the rainy day fund, and you know, it is a great amount of money. $1 billion is huge. Governor Baker and the administration has done a wonderful job on ensuring the billion-dollar surplus. If we were to use it, I would want to see it to go towards, you know, Chapter 70 funding to make sure that the state is upholding their original promise for the local communities. If the state upheld their local promise, Abington, Whitman, and East Bridgewater would have seen well over $1 million on top of their already Chapter 70 funding for this year alone. I mean, we've been at a very stagnant point. We should be rising as far as Chapter 70 funding. And I also think that, you know, the money should go to where the Commonwealth has voted for it to go to. So I think that's something that we need to take a look into.
Well, if you're elected come January, and again, there's an ebb and a flow as to what the revenue projections are. You're going to have down months, you're going to have up months. Usually when there's an up month, there's a supplemental budget that's formulated. Give me some of the things that you'll do to at least keep a running list where maybe you'll try to seek money for your community or your communities or for the general good of the Commonwealth.
So my list, is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, just give me an idea as to, again, if you're a legislator, what would be your plan of attack in regards to making sure that your district gets theirs?
Well, I would advocate most definitely for Chapter 70 and local funding and local aid. You know, the tax burden is on the taxpayers within Abington, East Bridgewater, and Whitman. So I would advocate that we receive our fair share of that funding. I would also look into the opioid crisis and to figure out ways that we can use money for treatment and prevention and to make sure that less and less people become addicted to the opioids. It's a huge issue within our district. You know, I'm out door knocking, and those are probably the two main priorities as far as Abington, Whitman, and East Bridgewater.
Okay. It's Allison Sullivan, Alex Bazanson. Same question, starting with the current surplus. Where would you like to see that? Again, the administration currently has its ideas. What would you like to see if you're elected, see that money spent?
A surplus like this is a one-time, hopefully not one-time, but usually a one-time spending issue. I would like to see some of the money put away in the rainy day fund, but I would also, although I'm a proponent of Chapter 70 funding, I don't think you can fund it with a one-time budget. I think this money should be used for things that we only need to do one time, such as infrastructure, such as bridge repairs, or get money for Whitman who needs a DPW building, something like that. I don't think it's a good idea to put it on a school budget and then next year we don't have the money to do it. I think we should use that for infrastructure or other things like that. That would be a one-time repair type of thing.
And the follow-up question that I had in regards to supplemental budgets, it's something that if you're elected come January, you'll see them from time to time. What will your mindset be when it comes to those supplemental budgets?
Well, if it's a continuous revenue stream, then I would, obviously, I want more money for our schools, I want more money for our police and fire, and I want continued more money for our district for Chapter 90 and infrastructure and roads.
Okay. Charles Matheson, questions for the candidates.
Staying on when one of you is eventually elected, I asked each of you during the primary forum as a lightning round question what committee assignments you would like. This time I would like you to say which committee assignments you would like and why. Allison?
So many definitely come to mind. One is obviously Ways and Means because it has to do with the budget. So obviously when I'm sitting here talking about Chapter 70 funding and local aid, it's one of the biggest proponents to our budget. Another one is the Judiciary Committee. I mean, we're seeing it right now as present day. Judges that are not being held accountable for their actions. We have a judge that is time in and time out being in the public eye. Judge Feely, who's been appointed by Deval Patrick, it's just what he's doing is crazy. I mean, more recently, he's gave a $1,000 bail to a child rapist. I mean, that's just distasteful. So I think being on the Judiciary Committee and looking at our criminal justice reform and looking at ways to be a part of and initiating, you know, judges and reviewing judges. I also think mental health and substance use and recovery. I mean, like I said, the opioid crisis is right upon us.
Okay, as a follow-up, you mentioned reform, criminal justice reform. What kinds of reforms would you like to see?
I most definitely I would support the most recent Governor Baker State of the Dangerousness bill that he's proposing, and I would support that. I think we need to give more tools and resources to our police officers. I think we need to give more tools and resources to our prosecutors. We're living in a day and age where criminals are not being held responsible for their actions, and judges are being more lenient than not and causing an effect on our community. I mean, this heinous crime of a police officer being executed in the line of duty is just something that I would never agree with, giving bail to those offenders. The opioid crisis, I keep going back to. We have a judge that said, you know, a heroin dealer is a victimless crime. Well, I know plenty of victims to the heroin epidemic that will say that would argue that it's not a victimless crime. So I would look to a review as holding drug dealers, drug offenders in the sense of traffickers more responsible.
Okay, Alex, what committee assignments would you like and why?
My first choice would be the Committee on Education, and I actually had the opportunity to meet with the chairwoman, Alice Peach, last week and express my concern about school funding and the MCAS testing and stuff. So that would be my first choice. I'd also, since I do have somewhat of a background with the Abington Substance Awareness Coalition, mental health and substance use and recovery would be another one I'd like to be on.
Okay, as a follow-up, we've heard many complaints during these forums this year about the Chapter 70 education local aid funding formula. How would you want to change that if you were on the education committee?
Well, I think it has to be reviewed, a complete review of it. I think the demographics have changed drastically since the last time that was reviewed. And I've said this before, there's a town near Abington that their local, school funding has gone up 35% in the last 5 years, and Abington's has gone up 4%. So there's something that's not right here, and you know it has the whole system needs to be reviewed and distributed more evenly.
And that town would be
Rockland.
Steve Fifth from the district, just to throw it out there.
Yes. Yes.
Any more follow-ups?
No, that's it.
All right.
Thanks.
Amy Leonard, questions for the candidates, please.
All right. So kind of going back to criminal reform bill, Governor Baker did say there was some, mostly the proponents outweighed the bad. He said there were some problems with it, but he thinks for the most part it does some good. I know that you also mentioned tougher on fentanyl and carfentanil trafficking. That is in this criminal reform bill that they're actually going to get tougher on those drug dealers. There's also other things in there like juvenile justice, which raises the minimum age a child can be held criminally responsible and tried in juvenile court from 7 years old to 12 years old. So can you guys tell me where you fall in this criminal reform bill, if you like it, if you don't like it, parts of it you like, parts of it you don't? And we'll start with Alex.
Yeah, overall, I think it's a good starting point. The governor did come out in September with another proposal to give the judges more power in holding repeat offenders, like the ones we saw recently in Weymouth and Yarmouth. And I agree 100% with that. And I will work across the aisle on that with whoever the governor may be, and continue that. I also think in the governor's proposal there is a review of judges, and I don't think that would be a bad idea either.
Allison?
So part of the bill that I can say that I do like was the fentanyl and carfentanil, and making it, the amount of fentanyl, and then there's no actual amount for carfentanil to make it a felony in the sense of, the time of incarceration. I think that's a huge problem in today's society. I mean, you see the rise of overdoses, and it's mainly because of carfentanil and fentanyl, reasons. I most recently read a study that it was, I believe in 2016, 85% of the deaths found fentanyl in those people, which is heartbreaking. So I do think that's a great part of the criminal justice reform. However, I do agree with the most recent bill that Governor Baker has proposed. I think that people that violate bail restrictions and bail orders, as far as, house arrest or, refraining from certain things, such as, contact with victims, they should be held accountable when they violate those restrictions.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Next question I'm going to ask you is a patented question. What will you do to bring home the bacon?
Oh, Christine.
Yes. What will you do to bring home the bacon? Did either of you bring bacon tonight? Because we did have a clever candidate, although we did not ask the question. He possessed bacon. Not that I would vote for him, but he had bacon. What will you do to bring home what your district needs?
Either.
I'm sorry, what?
You're not in his district?
I'm not. We'll start with Allison.
What I plan to do is work very closely with Governor Baker and the administration. I've been in the State House now for over a year in administration and finance. I have found my way as far as walking around the State House. So being in the legislative, bringing home the bacon in that terms, I would work with other legislators that are in the same situations as the 7th Plymouth District, find ways to bring that money home, whether it be through Chapter 70 or local aid. If we get more funding for Chapter 70, then we have the ability to fund our police and our fire and our first responders. We have more money for the towns to make sure that the roads are up to par and that the buildings, that our local governments are in is up to par as well. That's what I would do. I mean, I have a very strong voice, and I don't really sit down, I don't sit in the back, and I don't fall in line. So what I won't do is I won't fall in line with the Speaker of the House. I will make sure that my voice is heard, that the 7th Plymouth District gets what they deserve.
What will you do for small business? How important, and be specific if you will, in order to help them be able to continue on during what's right now? Well, we're doing well when it comes to the economy.
What I would look to do is the LLC and the incorporated filing fees. From my understanding, it's a $500 filing fee every single year, and it's one of the highest in the country. So what I would do is I would look for initiatives to lower that fee or make it a one-time fee and have a very minimal fee for years after. I think small businesses is what drives our community. So I think that we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure that they can thrive in the community.
Okay, that is the Republican Allison Sullivan. We have now the Democrat Alex Bezanson. What are you going to do to bring home the bacon, Alex?
Bacon is the candy of meat,
Maple cured or
yes.
Any?
And I didn't make that up. I heard that.
Okay.
But I will fight every day, and I'm ready to fight every day on day one. I have a proven track record of finding sources. I was instrumental in the dog park, $178,000 for that, and getting a $164,000 grant for green communities. There are programs out there that I would be working closely with our town officials to whatever they need in order to get some of these programs.
How about us for businesses, small businesses? What would you try to do to help them?
Well, one of the problems with a small business is too much paperwork, and I am a small business owner, and if I'm not out working on a job, I'm not making any money. And there are a lot of small mom-and-pop operations that are LLCs or S-corporations, and part of the problem is remembering, and we do get emails, but, you know, things happen and you don't file your annual report, then you get penalized. The fees for an LLC, $500 per year. I would like to see maybe an automatic renewal every year, obviously opt into it, but an automatic renewal and send an email that it's been deducted from your account. I just think it would be easier for a small businesses, and I would be in favor of waiving the fees for any small business under 10 employees.
Again, you are listening to 95.9 WATD here in Marshfield, Massachusetts, and you're listening to a live political forum with the two candidates that are seeking your vote in the 7th Plymouth District State Rep for the state rep seat, which is Olive Whitman, Abington, and Precincts 2, 3, and 4 in East Bridgewater. I think we have time for another question before we'll let them ask each other a question. Charles, you have one last question.
Yes, as we begin to wrap up, a cultural question. Many people are obsessed by the divisions in Washington. If you were running for Congress, not the State House, what would you propose to mend those divisions, Alex?
Well, first of all, I'm not running for Congress, and I never will run for Congress. Okay.
We understand that. This is a hypothetical.
But if I were... speaking of Congress, one of my mentors is our Congressman Stephen Lynch, and I think Stephen Lynch is somebody that tries to get along with both sides, tries to make the best decisions, and I think we need more people like Stephen Lynch. We need more moderates in there that are willing to work with both sides. And it's not Democrats, it's not Republicans, it's both, that we both have our extremes. And it seems like the extremes are the ones that are being heard. And I honestly believe most people in this country are right about in the middle, a little to the right, a little to the left. But their voices aren't being heard. And I think we need to hear those people and mend our fences and everyone work together.
Allison Sullivan, what's your prescription for healing?
Well, if I knew the answer, then we wouldn't be in the situation we are today. So... But what I would do if I was running for Congress, I would listen to the people. I mean, the whole point of being elected official and a public official like that is to listen. You know, the people are the ones that are trusting you and voting for you, that you're going to do what's in their best interest. So I would continue to do that, just like I'm doing in this state representative seat, listening to the people in the district and not losing touch of where you came from, who sent you there. You know, and instead of your own personal agenda, I would just focus in on that.
Thank you.
No follow-up?
Nope.
Amy, do you have a final question that you'd like to pose?
Sure, yes. So I'm going to, again, go back to the ballot questions. And let's talk about ballot question number 3, which concerns a law prohibiting discrimination based on gender identity to establish that corporations do not have the same constitutional rights as human beings. Where do you guys fall on ballot question number 3, Allison?
So I believe everybody deserves to be protected. I don't believe anybody should be discriminated against, you know, whether you're female, male, white, black, Asian, you know, it should never matter your gender identity or not. I think that as human beings, we should be respected and protected. With that being said, I think everybody should be protected. As far as ballot question number 3, it seems to be very confusing in the sense of if you vote yes, you vote a certain way, and if you vote no, you vote another way. If you vote no, then you vote for it to be, for the law to be repealed and to be reworked and reworded. From my understanding of the bill, it's a very vague bill and a very very vague. And what I would do is I would potentially vote no, but because I want to have it very clear and cut, and so that everybody understands the protections that are in place.
Thank you. Alex?
Same question, Alex.
I think everyone should be treated equally. It really doesn't matter to me what your gender, transgender. Everyone's human, and I think everyone should be treated equally. I will be voting yes on question 3.
Okay. Okay. I do have a follow-up.
Please.
Just to play devil's advocate here, a lot of sides are saying, you know, how do you feel about a man going into a women's bathroom when your daughter's in there? Alex?
Well, you know, that's the argument, but I haven't heard about any of that so far, and that was the big argument a couple of years ago when this bill was being passed, and I haven't heard of any of that, and I don't think that's a mass problem in the state or the country.
Allison?
So if we're being clear, I want to make sure that we're talking about a man that identifies as a woman.
Or vice versa, but
right,
correct, yes.
In the bathroom where they identify as. I think they should be able to use a bathroom if that's where they identify, if that's how they carry themselves in public, if that's how they are every single day. If they identify as that gender, then that's the bathroom they should be able to use. It, you know, where people worry in this whole idea is that a man will say that they identify as a woman. They don't have to look as a, like a woman. They don't have to dress as a woman. They just have to say they identify as a woman. And the fear is that predators, even though it has not happened, thank God, because, you know, the at the end of the day, we all worry about children and innocent children being victimized in any form. But the fear is that a man who's a predator or a female that's a predator would identify as that gender to prey on an innocent child. So,
thank you.
All right. This is your opportunity to ask each other a question. We'll start with Allison. So I think you answered the last question first, so we'll let Allison. Do you have a question for Mr. Bazanson?
Okay. So you claim that your support of union bosses, and you have been a contractor for over 20 years. When you pay your employees, do you pay them union wages?
On certain jobs, I have, yes, but because my company, well, actually, right now, just for your information, my employees are myself and my wife. But at one point, I did have a larger workforce, 13, 15 people, and did some projects for the Brockton Housing Authority. And yes, we were paying prevailing wage.
Okay. Mr. Bazanson, do you have a question for Ms. Sullivan?
I'm interested in what would be one of the first bills that you would propose if you were elected.
One of the first bills that I propose is to fully fund schools, to uphold the promise that Massachusetts originally made, you know, almost 30 years ago, to make sure that our schools are being fully funded and that our children are receiving the most adequate education.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Let's do lightning round. Charles, do you have a lightning round question for the two candidates?
Well, I have two.
Okay.
Would you have voted yes or no for Brett Kavanaugh, Alex?
I would vote no.
Allison?
Yes.
I think you had two.
And,
well, in time.
Oh, okay.
Should the death penalty be brought back, Alex?
In certain cases, yes.
Allison?
Yes, I believe we should bring it back for certain crimes.
I would not do a WATD political form justice without asking this trademark question.
Are you listening, Christine?
Well, I don't know if so much Christine as the other individual.
Oh.
One of our commissioners?
Possibly, yes. Plymouth County government, should it stay or should it go? Alex?
Absolutely stay.
Allison?
I say go. It no longer includes the sheriff and the district attorney.
Okay. Charles, your second question. And remember, lightning round questions, yes or no, or up to two sentences.
In today's cultural atmosphere, given the president's recent remarks, should we actually be concerned about false allegations against men? Alex?
I think there could be small amount of that. I don't think it's a big problem.
Allison?
I think even without in today's atmosphere, I think we should always be concerned of false allegations against men and women.
Amy.
East Bridgewater has banned recreational pot shops. Whitman has banned recreational pot shops, as well as any type of marijuana cultivators, laboratories, and manufacturers. Abington, where you both reside, I believe, they have a temporary moratorium banning recreational pot shops until June 30th. Would you like to see Abington establish an outright ban, allow some business, such as cultivators, or open a recreational pot shop? Two sentences. We'll start with Allison, please.
So I don't support marijuana, but Abington voted to have marijuana in the town. So I would support to make sure that we regulate it and observe it correctly.
Alex.
Yes, I'm in favor of it because the residents voted for it. And at town meeting, we voted a certain area of town that it will be allowed after the moratorium. The moratorium was put in place until the state gets their act together.
Thank you.
Final lightning round question. The state's bottle bill, keep it, modify it, get rid of it. Allison.
I say keep it.
Alex.
Keep it.
All right. It's time for closing statements, and we're going to switch the order. That means that Allison Sullivan will give her closing statement, followed by Alex Bazanson. If you will, Allison.
Thank you. I want to thank WATD again for hosting this forum tonight and the listeners for tuning in. I want to continue the tradition of the great leaders before me. I will be an attentive listener, a thoughtful thinker, and a doer. I will listen to the people, think of the solutions to the issues, and I will work hard as a strong advocate that the 7th Plymouth District deserves. I promise to be a representative that the 7th Plymouth District can trust. I ask you for your vote on November 6th. Thank you.
All right, and again, that was a Republican, Allison Sullivan. Now with his final statement, Alex Bazanson.
Again, thank you to WATD for the opportunity and to the people of Abington, Whitman, and East Bridgewater. This election is a very important election for our district. This election is more than just Democrat versus Republican. This election is about who you can mostly relate to, who understands what this district needs, and who can deliver. I think when you evaluate both candidates, you will see that I am the candidate that you mostly relate to. I am the only candidate in this race that has any municipal and government experience. I have a proven track record when it comes to getting things accomplished. I am the best candidate for this office, and I think that's backed up by my numerous endorsements that I've received from unions, elected officials, and former elected officials. I am a true working man. I know what it's like to lace up the work boots every morning. I will be your full-time state representative. I will maintain a district office, and I will be accessible to all the people of the 7th Plymouth District. I urge you to make your voices heard and vote for me, Alex Bazanson, on November 6th. Thank you.
Thank you, both to Alex and to Allison. You have been listening to the 7th Plymouth District State Representative Forum, which is Whitman. With the 7th Plymouth District itself is all of Whitman and Abington, plus precincts 2, 3, and 4 in East Bridgewater. And your candidates who you heard here this evening, Democrat Alex Bazanson and Republican Allison Sullivan. Remember, the general election is the first Tuesday in November, which is November 6th. Tonight's forum will be up online before the end of the night. And tomorrow morning, there will be select cuts from this forum, and WATD will be covering this race on election night. And again, we appreciate Alex and Allison for being a part of this forum, not only the audio side, but also the visual side of this. And asking questions with me tonight was WATD's Charles Matheson and Amy Leonard. Great job, guys, especially Amy, who also did double duty doing timekeeping on top of asking some good questions. And this forum, videotaped by Whitman Hance Community Access. Thank you to WHCA and their cameraman, Paul Watson, for their participation. Remember, get out there and vote. If you don't vote,
you don't have a voice.
Well, that was so clever. But they are so right. You don't have a voice.